Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, or diagnose. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Welcome to another edition of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 45. Today I've got Feel Good on. Me and Phil go way back, all the way back to the South End Boys and Girls Club, where a buddy of his, Cecil Reed at the time, was wrestling. Phil walked by and said something to me, and I said, hey, why don't you get into wrestling? And man, it's been a great deal ever since then. He's got to manage the Real School Army. He was manager of Havoc. Jared Savage is doing really good right now. He moved over to the Midwest. And then currently, Phil Good is a manager, or no, he's a referee for Northwest Pro, who has a show today at Key Peninsula Center. And also the Mariners, they're in Atlanta today. Mariners are 21-23. The Braves are 28-16. Yesterday we lost 6-2 with Bryce Miller we had on the mound. Man, Bryce Miller's looking so good. Let's see what his ERA is now. My goodness, he set like world records for having the least amount of runs in his first three starts. And let's see. Box score for yesterday, Bryce Miller's ERA. Yeah, he's doing really good. He's 2-1 now. It says his ERA is 4.26. I don't believe that. I think that was for the game. So it looks like Phil's going to be calling in, and looks like he's here. Feel Good, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing fantastic, Coach. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. It's an honor to have you on. I know you're a busy man. You got the day off today?
No, I got the day off of the shoot job, but I do have a show tonight. But I got all the time in the world. I booked up today for you this afternoon, and we could chit chat as long as you want, Coach.
Yeah, I already let the fans know you'll be at Northwest Pro tonight at Key Peninsula Center. Do you have any information on that show?
Well, I don't have any specifics of the matches at the given moment, but I can tell you this: Northwest Pro has been getting hot lately. The crowds have been getting bigger, and we're getting a lot more returnees. People are taking notice and coming back, and. The shows are on fire right now, and you know, I can't wait to see it as much as work on it.
Definitely. And are you just refereeing tonight, or do you have any other roles you're going to play?
Well, the last few shows I've been refereeing, but I'm not done managing. The best way to scout talent is right there in the middle of the ring.
For
so
sure.
You never
and
know
I
what's going to happen.
Yes, and I let the fans know that you've managed some of the top wrestlers in the Northwest, been part of the Real School Army, and you managed Havoc in the past and Jared Savage, and he's moved on to the Midwest. And tell us about some other people you've managed.
Well, man, I've the Ideal Reflection, Christopher Ryzik. He and I had a, we had a game down that was hard to match. My favorite tag team to manage was Rolling Too Deep from back in the Pinnacle days. And as you mentioned, Jared Savage, House of Pain with Chuck Payne, and Real School Army. Heck, I've even managed Debashi at a time or two.
Yes, for sure. Okay, well, let's get to the interview. What got you into the crazy world of professional wrestling?
What got me into it?
Yes.
As in, now let me clarify. Are you talking about into as in as a fan or into as in stepping into it?
Both.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'll just cover the bases then. I was with my parents. They were playing cards with another couple, and it was Saturday night, late at night, and their son turned on wrestling at 11 o'clock, Superstars of Wrestling, and every Saturday night that we went over there, I began to look forward to going over there just for 11 o'clock to be able to watch some wrestling, and it was Mr. Wonderful. Paul Orndorff was the very first person that I remember seeing from one week to the next that caught my attention. And he was my first favorite per se. Got to enjoy the pile driver and his believability and his intensity. And to quote an old Johnny Valentine quote, where Johnny Valentine said, "I can't make you believe all wrestling's real, but I can make you believe I'm real." And man, did I ever believe Mr. Wonderful was real? And so that's what got me into wrestling as a fan. And in later years, I graduated high school with my friend David Reed, and then David I went to the Navy and I went in the Marine Corps, and I saw David at a WWE house show up in Seattle on a Thursday night, and he said he had his first match in 2 days. He was wrestling against Havoc and invited me to come on out. And well, David had since became known as, or going by his first name of Cecil Reed. There were too many days around, so he had to go back to Cecil. So I went out to see that UIWA show and talked to him in the lobby, and I made the joke like so many people do. I said, not even thinking about what I'm saying, I said, man, I ought to come in and manage you sometime. You yourself happened to walk right on by, and Cecil turned to you and said, "Hey, my buddy Phil wants to be a manager." And I just said, "Maybe," kind of thing. But when he turned to you, said, "He wants to be." Well, five days later, you and I were training in the old projects.
Definitely, yes. That was such an honor to help you get trained with your working on your basics. Then, of course, Debashi helped you with a little bit more of the training. And then, of course, you trained with other people, some of the other greats in the past, too. Yes, nice. And then you even had a little stint as a wrestler. You did a little tour of Canada with Havoc, right?
Yes, yes. I went up to ECCW and did some of their training shows with Havoc and Cecil, who was wrestling as Rhett Dixon and whatnot. We used to go up to their House of Pain training shows and just a little short tours, but or you'd go up on the weekends and then go down to go down to Oregon and work at Sandy Bar's flea market and Tito's Gym, and went onward upward from there.
Nice, and what a blessing that has come full circle where you were you and I both stepped out of wrestling for a while, and then I got back in first, and then I seen you on social media and stuff, and I would, you know, talk to you a little bit, and seemed like you wasn't interested in getting back in, and then I even seen you at the Jake the Snake comedy, on the Jake the Snake comedy tour, see a little bit more then, but I was a little disappointed. I'm like, dang, I wish you'd get back in. And then a little bit after that, you got back in, and I was happy that, you know, we got to work with you at the Real School Army. And then, like I said, being full circle, you got to even have a few matches where your kids were able to see you. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So getting back in, after Pinnacle Wrestling folded in November of 07, My life took me outside of Washington State. I moved to Montana for a good handful of years, and I kept up with the business, kept in decent shape, and you know, my kids are getting older, and one day I saw you at the Jake the Snake, absolutely, down there at Tacoma Comedy Club. Great place, I recommend it. I always have a good line of people. But all it was is, at the time, you had told you would send me your, or it was a comment on Facebook. You said, "Hey Phil, Real School Army needs you. Our manager just retired for now, and we could really use you." And my response was something like, "That'd be cool." And as soon as I hit send, I just like, did I just agree to a comeback? I think I did. And we got to talking on the phone, and next thing you know, we were me and Kevin Sullivan outside the ring while you and old Wes Briscoe were going against Debashi and the Clown, old Sideshow.
Yes, Carnival, man, what a brawl that was at peak performance there in Tacoma, where it even spilled. They had MMA and we had pro wrestling there. The match spilled into the cage where Stefan Bonner and I got the victory over Debashi and Sideshow. Yes, but it wasn't in the cage. It started out in the cage.
Yeah, that was the next month, because the first month it was you and Wes Briscoe against Carnival, and then the next month it was you and Bonner against Carnival, which again I was there for, and hey, what a show! Getting a few months further on, you know, working with both New Generation Wrestling and Northwest Pro, got asked to come work with Northwest Pro by Mr. J.D. Mason, and it was a battle royal in August. It was about outdoor show, and my daughter got to be there, and that was truly a blessing to be able to come back to wrestling and show her what I do, show her what I love, and let her be a part of that, let her witness it, and to this day, that was one of my favorite moments in the ring.
And my God, talk about blessing, man! Thank you for serving your country in the Marines, and now, just like in your footsteps, your daughter's off to the Marines, right?
Absolutely, you know, she's and she did it for her own reason. It's funny how I did the same thing. My dad is a Marine, and I didn't join because he was in. I joined for my own reasons. However, I followed his footsteps. We marched in the same path. And then my daughter joins for her own reasons, and she's for her own reasons, but she's falling right there in my path. And she leaves July 17th, and she's been training for over a year for this, and she's easily in the best shape of her life. But that's nothing compared to the shape she'll be She'll become October next time I see her after she comes home from boot camp. So I'm proud of her, love her, and she's an amazing young woman, and I look forward to being dad for once.
Yes, very nice. Okay, so who were some of your heroes growing up, whether it was wrestling, sports, music, ordinary life, or all of the above?
Well, I mean, you know, wrestling, you know, I mentioned, Orndorff was the first one that got me in, but I grew to be a little Hulkamaniac, and the Training and the Prayers and American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, the Tower of Power, Too Sweet to Be Sour, if you will, Jet. It is the best I can do at the moment, but old Dusty was before he became the common man in WWF, he really was the common man, the man of the people, the guy that people could look to as one of them, who loved the men. The Dynamite Kid, I always loved the Dynamite Kids, the British Bulldogs in general, but Dynamite Kid in specific. He was at the time, he was one of the smaller, pro wrestlers in the big time, somebody that looked, paved way for future generations of smaller wrestlers that, if you've got a dream and desire and the willingness to work for it, by God, and a little fire in your belly, you can do it. And nowadays, my kid would be bigger than a lot of people, but he was a trailblazer. And speaking of trailblazers, I would be remiss if I didn't mention one of the early heroes, even though it was for just a short time, was Superstar Billy Graham, who just recently passed. Superstar, when I first started watching wrestling, I was still a new fan, and he was making that comeback to the WWF, and the vignettes that they were showing on TV, with him out in the desert and the training and the trances and when he came out, I think it was the first time I saw him on TV with the tie dye, and he came out to an instrumental theme of Jesus Christ Superstar, the music and he was his gift of gab, the ability to rap, if you will. He was somebody once the videotapes started coming out, and later on the YouTube and the DVDs, and I didn't know it at the time. I mean, I bought the whole comeback backstory. I didn't know at the time he was on his last ropes at the end of the line as an active performer in the business. But seeing that comeback story and the hype, the joy of him coming back, that planted a seed. And so once the DVDs started coming out, and the ability of the network and the WWE 24/7, I sought out and I watched as much as I could of him. And truly, what a trailblazer.
Yes, for sure. Bless his soul, my goodness. And like Evan Ginsberg said, the producer of 350 Days, and he was executive producer of The Wrestler, and he's out of New York, so he's seen Superstar many times. He said when Superstar came into a building, the building rocked, and that was a good example of what type of star he was, my goodness.
Well, I just told you I was a little Hulkamania. There wouldn't have been a Hulkamania at all if it wasn't for Superstar Billy Graham. Not only did Hogan take and use a lot of what Graham presented. Graham was one of the reason that he got into the business. He went to a wrestling show with his dad. And when he saw Superstar Billy Graham get on the corner ropes on the second rope and put up a double bicep pose, he looked at his dad and said, "I want to be just like that." And so his influence, Jesse Ventura, Scott Steiner, his influence on so many influence. It's one thing to be an influential person, but when you're an influence to that many other influential people, hardly enough can be said about the man.
Yes, for sure. What about your heroes in sports and ordinary life?
Well, my heroes in other sports, when I was playing baseball as a little kid, I couldn't hit the ball. I my hand-eye coordination at the time was not good. And but if I walked, or if I or if I got hit and got on base, I just my favorite thing to do was to steal a base. Like, okay, I got one, let me get another. And so my favorite ball player that wasn't the Mariner, and a lot of times he was my favorite ball player, period, even over some Mariners, was Ricky Henderson. I mean, bar none, the greatest baseball stealer of all time. There have been a lot of greats. Lou Brock, Vince Coleman had a hot run for a while, but he couldn't sustain it that long, even though he did get over 700 stolen bases, which by all means is amazing. But Ricky was the man. You know, everybody liked his attitude or his persona, but Ricky Henderson's persona was a lot like The Rock when he went from happy-go-lucky babyface Rocky Maivia to the Nation of Domination, speaking in the third person, The Rock, and his inspiration might have been Deion Sanders or whoever else, but Ricky was speaking about Ricky before all of those guys were speaking in the third person. So
yes, definitely. And speaking of the Mariners, my goodness, it was nice that Ricky was a Mariner for a while. He did awesome.
Absolutely.
For the Mariners. And then, you know,
yes,
they have a long list of how many left fielders they've had. Ricky was on that list, but part of the reason they had so many left fielders is they got rid of all of them. They should have kept Vince Coleman and Ricky Henderson longer than they did, but it was still nice.
Absolutely.
To have them while they had them. Yeah. And back to the Mariners, you're also a personal friend of Wes Stock, Major League Baseball
Wes Stock.
Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Famer, pitching coach, world champion, and a former Mariners pitching coach, former Mariners pitcher. Tell us a little bit about him.
Okay, Wes Stock, I don't believe he's in the Hall of Fame, but he definitely has the World Series rings. He got a World Series ring as a pitching coach with the 73 and 74 A's. He also got a World Series ring because he was the director of their farm system, you know, when the A's won the series in 89. And it's the only time I've ever held a World Series ring was when I held his 1989 World Series ring. Wes was the very first Mariners pitching coach from their beginning until like 81, and then he became a broadcaster in 82 and 83. And Rick Riz, short of Dave Niehaus, Rick Riz is the biggest Mariners announcer ever, and Wes was his mentor. So I had the deep honor of going to a baseball game with him 4 years ago, and before the game, going up into the Dave Niehaus Broadcast Center, and had a great conversation with Rick Riz and Ray Fossey, who Wes coached on those World Series teams, as the catcher for the A's, and because they were playing the A's, and Ray was in the booth announcing for the A side, and he's an extremely busy man, and I still have to, you know, as much as you and I can talk all the time, but I really need to get you two together, because man, he's still kicking, but you know, he's been on this planet for 89 years or so. So when I will talk to him as soon as possible, and let's the three of us get together and talk some baseball.
And to let the fans know, we've already had a date set, but we couldn't follow through on making our lunch so we could have an interview. So we got that close so far. We just got to reschedule. Yes.
Absolutely. The only reason it was canceled is because Wes had a commitment he couldn't get out of with his wife, and well, you know, that's part of the reason he's been married so long is he understands that sometimes family has to come first.
Yes, definitely. And then another thing, I want to let the fans know what type of manager and guy you are. My goodness, when you were working with the Real School Army all the time, man, we could count on you all the time. You did so much. You were hands-on. You would help us go pick up guys at the airport, the five most wanted with Billy Blade and Sean Casey and Eric Small, of course, Wes Briscoe, Sin Bodie. Man, we were so blessed to work with Stephen Bonner. God bless his soul. And may he rest in peace. And then also, it was nice we got to do extra. We always try to do extra stuff with the stars we brought with us or to the Northwest. We're getting to go to climb Mount Si with Stephen Bonner and go to Jimi Hendrix's grave with him. And, of course, I got to make it to Bruce Lee and Brandon Lee's grave with them. And
Brandon came to visit you while you were there, didn't he?
The crow showed up while we were there. It was watching us. It was wow. It was amazing. It wasn't quite eerie. It was just sort of amazing. It was a beautiful day. Even Stefan made a comment that he goes, "This is the most beautiful cemetery he's ever seen."
Yes.
Oh my goodness. You know, and then, of course, having after-show parties with Stefan at the Ricky J's here in Fredrickson. And,
absolutely.
You know, the list goes on and on. My goodness. But, yes, I want to thank you again for helping us out with everything.
My pleasure, Coach. My pleasure. That's one thing I wanted to mention, you know, some advice for the young people is, like, help, you know, If you're working for shows, help out. Do what you can. You know, if you go pick up somebody from the airport, you're not, you know, that's a gift sometimes. I mean, yes, I mean, it takes time, gas, and whatnot. And when you could, you most certainly gave me some gas money. But it was a gift because, you know, those people that have been around the business, you pick their brain, ask them questions. Follow up with them, watch them on the shows, or if they can watch you, have them watch you and then ask for feedback. But like those times in the cars, that's what's missing from the business. A lot of times these days is there's not a lot of time in cars, and that's how the old timers used to teach the youngins is on the road. It was, you know, hours upon hours and hours of steady learning. Even if you weren't even talking, you were just listening to them talk. You learned and you picked up things. So if you have a chance to help out, pick somebody up, ask them questions. You know, more often than not, you'll find somebody who's extremely helpful and glad to pass on their knowledge to you. So, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to do those extras for you. So thank you.
Yes, thank you again. And then now did you mention you played baseball growing up. Did you play what other sports did you play in high school and growing up?
Well, I was I did a little baseball when I was younger and soccer when I was younger. But one of the big things I realized was, again, the hand-eye coordination wasn't there, and the older I got, the faster them pitches came, and I couldn't lean into pitches just to get hit and get on base, to steal the bases too much longer because then pitches were starting to hurt, and you can't get hit, you know, four times a day. and after a while, it looked suspicious anyway, but I learned I could run. I could run, and I can keep on running. I was a long distance runner. I did track and I did cross country, and that to say I had good lungs is an understatement. So that helped out, and that helped out in future things because you know a long distance run is 3.1 miles. Well, part of my Marine Corps physical fitness test was a 3-mile run. So I was able to walk in and ace the 3-mile run part of the test. And as a, you know, as a skinny little distance runner, I was able to focus on getting my, you know, building my strength. Whereas you get a lot of these guys, you can't train a non-runner in 3 months, you know, of boot camp to all of a sudden be a, get a perfect score in running. But I was able to work on my strength, and I did fairly well for myself.
Definitely. Okay. And then what's your self-defense background?
I did a little wrestling on a club level. I didn't do it in school, but did a little wrestling with some friends. Mentioned Stephen Bonner. I did a little martial arts and boxing training with Stephen Bonner. Wish I'd have more of that, but then, you know, God rest his soul. I will remember what he taught me, and enjoy the time with him. But did a lot of martial arts type self defense or joint manipulation and whatnot, you know, as part of my training in the Marine Corps.
Okay, nice. And then let's see, what are some of the most memorable matches you've seen?
Well,
the first time you seen wrestling, but in general.
Okay, memorable matches I've seen. Hogan Andre WrestleMania 3, and that was memorable. This the pure spectacle. It was the first pay per view or special my family had ordered. I was at my uncle's house, and you know, could Hogan do it? Could he beat the undefeated giant, which, you know, find out later he wasn't really undefeated, but it was, as Gorilla Monsoon would say, the immovable force meet, or the, cat, I'm screwing up his thing. But you know, you get the old saying about the two colliding, and that was, while Steamboat Savage is a better match, Hogan Savage is was the memorable one, the one people came to see, and the body slam that they still show to this day on highlight packages, the WrestleMania moments. That's the epitome of WrestleMania moment. There was a house show match between the British Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation in the Tacoma Dome. It was a cage match, and to this day, it's probably one of the best matches I've ever seen. That nobody else will ever see again, because I don't believe a tape of it exists. But it was phenomenal, and Dynamite Kid escaped the cage, Jim Neidhart escaped the cage, and that left Bret Hart and Davey Boy, you know, in one hell of a fight. Hogan Savage WrestleMania 5, that was quite the build up and quite the story. But what a great day for wrestling! April 2nd, 1989. You had, you know, on one program you had Hogan versus Savage in the main event, and the other program you had Steamboat Flair in the main event, and they put on a clinic as well. And so, and you know, then going to see Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho WrestleMania 19 at the then Safeco Field up in Seattle, and again, what a match!
Yes, for sure. And then what are some of the most memorable matches you've been involved with?
Well, it was myself and Lumberzack and Mikey against legendary Larry D and Roger Hawkins in the 3-on-2 match. That was a big deal for me to look across the ring, and one of my opponents at the time, he was contracted to Larry D was contracted to Impact Wrestling. So I thought it was a cool moment that I was in the ring with a nationally contracted wrestler. Was in a three-way match with J.D. Mason, Danger Dean, and the legendary, too much use of the legendary, sorry, Larry D, Pat Tanaka on the other side. And that was cool for me because as a kid, I watched Pat Tanaka, for example, on WrestleMania VI, the Rockers versus the Orient Express, and Shawn Michaels later became known as Mr. WrestleMania. And it was kind of cool to, you know, from a fan's perspective to think, hey, look, you know, it may not be Mr. WrestleMania, but I was in the ring with one of Mr. WrestleMania's WrestleMania opponents. And doing some of the work in the pinnacle years, managing Christopher Ryzik against Bolo, that was always a fun combination, or Ryzik against Caden, and then when managing Rolling Too Deep when they won the Pinnacle Tag Team titles, that was a moment as well.
Awesome.
In addition to the matches where we've talked about already, about you and Wes Briscoe, and then later you and Stefan Bonner went against Clown Evil or Carnival.
Nice. All right. And then who are some of the favorite people you've worked with?
Well, my favorite people I've worked with, I love managing Christopher Ryzik because we really had a flow together. And then also Jared Savage because, you know, for different reasons as individuals, as a group, enjoyed House of Pain, Real School Army, and as a tag team, I enjoyed managing Rolling Too Deep. To work against in the ring, Twyquan Bro, Randy Zellers. He always gets a great reaction, and his expressions are pretty fun, and it's pretty fun to play off of legendary Larry D, Pat Tanaka, J.D. Mason. He's a machine in the ring and highly underrated. And then my favorite individual wrestling performance will, at this time, because I'm not done yet, but at this time, my favorite individual match was myself against Chris Marks in a chain match.
Oh, Dog yes, that was legendary. Match. Yes, definitely.
Yes.
Okay. And then, yes, speaking of J.D. Mason, man, they've come quite a ways. Northwest Pro, they're working with Glamour, and they bring in talent from all over the country. He also has Jeff Manning working with them. And Jeff also helped bring in talent. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Jeff, when I spoke to you earlier about talent, picking people's brains, Jeff is one that if you get a chance, and they're probably getting ready to set right now because I believe they're having a Jeff Manning seminar that starts in less than an hour. But Jeff is one that he will. He's a great one to pick his brain, but you don't have to do too much picking because Jeff, he'll be blunt with you. But Jeff will tell you what you did right, what you did wrong, but not just what you did wrong. He won't just, hey, you fucked up. Excuse my French, coach. He will tell you what you messed up on, but then he will tell you why, and he will turn it into a teaching moment. And Jeff, when you work on a show with Jeff, Jeff takes an active investment in the whole roster, and when he can, he will watch all the matches, and as soon as the last person comes through the curtain, including the referee, we'll have a quick little powwow and give everybody fresh advice. So if you have
awesome.
A chance to work on a show with Jeff, pick his brain.
Awesome. And then, hey, what else do you got coming up?
Well, you know, I mentioned I'm keeping it light this summer. I mentioned my daughter, you know, she's leaving on July 17th into the Marine Corps. And so she's my oldest child and the first one to fly the nest. So I'm actually just keeping it low key for the next 2 months so I can spend as much time with her as possible. Because when she's gone, she's gone. And I know from serving myself that when you may go through extended periods of time, whether you're deployed or overseas, you're not constantly able to keep in communication. The one thing that I'm looking forward to is the fact that we live in the age of cell phones, text, video chats, all that stuff. I didn't have that. I sure would have loved to have taken a picture on my phone of something and sent it to my dad at the time to show him, hey, what we were doing or where we were at. I'm hoping my daughter will make use of this technology and be able to keep me updated. But to get back to your question, that's honestly what I'm focusing on for the next couple months, and then trying to spend as much time with my dad as possible. His health isn't the best right now. He's going through a lot, so keeping it low-key for a couple months.
Yes, we're definitely keeping your dad in our thoughts and in our prayers and hoping the best for him and, of course, your whole family. We appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you for that.
Okay. Who are some of the toughest opponents you faced?
Well, Chris Marks is one of them because, you know, when you punch a man in the head with a chain and he looks at you, you know you're in for a long night.
Yeah.
And J.D. Mason, without a doubt, he's another one that I struggle to describe how at times when you're fighting J.D. Mason, you will inflict as much punishment on yourself as him, and that doesn't even begin to count the punishment he's going to inflict on you yourself. It hurts when you fight J.D. Mason, without a shadow of doubt.
And, yeah, I've definitely been in the ring with him, yes.
And then there's, you were a tough one yourself, Coach. I distinctly remember a Battle Royal back in 2000 for the UIWA. It was in Gig Harbor. And while I caught you with a bulldog, you rebounded, and that was definitely something that woke you up. I probably more than hurt you, and you threw me over the top rope with a quickness.
Yeah, and speaking of JD, I used to send out questionnaire bios for wrestlers, and one of them was from who answered it was Larkin the Decimator. And, of course, he listed J.D. Mason as his toughest opponent. So, yes, that's no fluke.
it's a common answer around these parts. And he's been traveling a lot himself. And Lumberjack is another tough one. I'll add him in there.
Right on.
Getting better all the time, and he's a common opponent for when people come from out of town. You get some big hoss from out of town, and he will hold up his end of the fight when in a battle of a big man.
Yes, and he's no small man. Tell the fans his height and weight.
You know, I believe he's about 6'2", and right now I believe he's running about 300 pounds. But he's thick. I don't know how much he actually weighs. He probably weighs a little bit more, bit. Are you going to walk up to him and say, step on a scale? I'm not.
I know, yeah. He definitely looks like a lumberjack, yes. Okay, and my next segment is called Favorites. I'm sure Sign Guy and the rest of the fans would like to know what your favorite coffee to drink is.
Okay, well, you know, I'm really glad you asked that because I have a new favorite coffee. Without a shadow of doubt, my new favorite coffee is Grit City Sasquatch that you can get at Debashi's Market. And, you know, you go see Diafo Debashi, tell him Mr. Feelgood sent you. I want some Grit City Sasquatch. He's got three different kinds there. And forgive me, Debashi, for not knowing the names of all three of them. I'll have to remember just to recommend if somebody wants a lighter roast. But a good, strong roast is that Grit City Sasquatch. And next time I'm down there in Tacoma, I will pick up another bag. And,
yes,
oh, as an added bonus, sorry to interrupt, Coach. As an added bonus, you go to Debashi's Market. He is decorating it. It is almost getting to be a museum like of the history of Northwest Pro Wrestling and more specific wrestling in Tacoma. He's got some great pictures up. He's getting more up all the time. Coca-Cola even made a sign for the front of his store, with a championship belt theme, Coca-Cola sign for Debashi's Market. So I highly recommend you anybody go to Debashi's Market, pick you up some coffee, get a little history of Northwest pro wrestling, specifically Tacoma, and pick Debashi's brain. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say he could be hellfire on wheels in the ring, but the man is one to pick his brain too, and he knows his history, he knows his stuff, and he's a good guy to be around.
Okay, before we get back to the favorites, yes, it's no coincidence that I'm having some Grit City Championship Sasquatch Championship. Let me get the name. He's got Pacific
Grit
Northwest
City
Championship blend.
The one you're having?
No, I'm having the Sasquatch one right now, but let me get the exact names. I know one of them is called Yemen Gold.
That's the one Sign Guy likes.
Grit City Bold, Gritty, Strong Coffee. Grit City Sasquatch. That's what I'm having right now. That is like my favorite of the ones I've tried. The other one is
that's
Pacific
my favorite
Northwest
too.
Championship. Yes.
Oh,
yes,
yeah,
and
Yemen Gold.
Yes. I haven't got that one yet. But that's at Debashi's Market on 721 South I Street in Tacoma.
Yes,
okay,
thank you for getting that address.
What's the favorite concerts you've seen?
Well, I just recently in February 25th and 27th, I saw Bruce Springsteen for the 7th and 8th time. Without a shadow of doubt, he's my favorite live performer. The guy was 73 years old, played 2 hours and 47 minutes. The only break in between, no intermission, no break between his encore where his only break was to wave at people, turned out the lights, turn them back on, and they walked back to their instruments for the encore. Usually the break between the songs was counting off the next song. He's 73 years old, and he still plays with the energy of somebody in his 20s and 30s. And I was with a couple people that hadn't seen him live before, and one person didn't even know his music. Instant fan right there. Some of my other favorites, my first concert is still a high point. It was Guns N' Roses, Metallica co-headlining with Motorhead opening up. I saw the Stones once and they were amazing. And switching gears, Kenny Chesney, I saw him last summer in Lumen Field, and it was country is not my usual go-to, but I will say this, the party atmosphere, the weather, being on the floor in that stadium surrounded by 50,000 people, you know, in a laid-back party mode. That was a good time.
Yes, for sure. And you're also a big Bob Dylan fan. How many times you've seen him?
Dylan, well, I mentioned Springsteen eighth time. Dylan, I've seen him four times. Hadn't seen him in a while, but he's another good one. I won't say he's the best concert, but man, you know, the guy can spin a lyric like few others.
Yes, and speaking of Bob Dylan lyrics, I was honored and blessed to. I came up with a Bob Dylan songbook, and I was happy to give it to you because, you know, just like with you, you know, we always try to do a little extra for each other, it seems like, and it was an honor to give that to you. Thank you so much for all you do.
No, I appreciate that, Coach, and truly blessed to have known you for this long.
And then what are your favorite sports teams?
Well, I feel guilty saying it, the Seahawks and the Mariners. And the only reason I say guilty saying it is because with my, current things going on in my life, I haven't been paying attention as much as I used to. I appreciate all that you do to promote the Mariners and, podcasts and everything else. Always keeping everybody up to date with the important stuff. But with my dad and his health, I actually got to go sit and watch opening day game with him, and it was a blessing to get to do that again.
Awesome. Okay. And then you mentioned Dusty Rhodes as being a hero. It was nice that you got to be on a show with him. And then what are some of the best wrestlers that you've been on shows with?
Well, I mentioned working legendary Larry D and Pat Tanaka and J.D. Mason. They're some of the best wrestlers I've actually worked, but I've been on shows with. The Wizard of Whippass himself, Kevin Sullivan, Wes Briscoe, Stephen Bonner. We've mentioned all that, but definitely have to mention working outside the ring, you know, with working with Tom Pritchard and Bo James. A couple other good ones.
Yes, and they're both going strong. I see Bo constantly touring. And then, of course, Tom Pritchard trains people still. Man, yes.
Yes.
Blessing.
Tom Pritchard and Glenn Jacobs, the man known as Kane, have their own Jacob Pritchard's Wrestling Academy. That was, if you're based on the East Coast, I would recommend that one because Tom Pritchard's worked with all the greats. If you grew up in the quote-unquote Attitude Era, the Ruthless Aggression Era, I mean the Cenas, the Batistas, the Rocks, the McMahons themselves. Pritchard's worked with them all in the ring. Pritchard knows the how, what, when, and why. And if you're on the back East Coast, I would recommend checking them out.
Yes, very cool. And that is one of my standard questions, too. What other schools do you suggest for people? Do you have other schools you'd like to suggest?
Well, okay, since you're asking about other schools, I'd be remiss not to mention J.D. Mason trains people. He alternately either has a school or trains individually at a specified location where there's a ring set up. However, my best suggestion with JD is get on his Facebook, send him a personal message, tell him I want to train to be a pro wrestler. What do I do? And JD will take it from there.
Okay, nice. And then you already listed some suggestions you had for people, but if you missed any, what are some of the suggestions you have for people wanting to get into the business besides what you already mentioned?
Okay. Well, if I'm going to offer suggestions, I will say this. Watch pro wrestling. You have to watch you don't just get in, you know, don't just say, I want to do it. You got to watch it. Take notes. List things you like. Try to figure out why you like them. Go to a good wrestling school. Ask questions. And when you're done asking questions, ask them again. And when you're done with the training on a given day, given weekend, go watch more wrestling. Remember what you were taught. Look for examples of what you were taught. Write down more questions to go back and ask at the school. And then maybe with a different viewpoint, look at what you like and learn. Help out on
okay.
the shows. While you are training, you're not going to be on the shows anytime soon. You have to be fully trained to work in the ring, but you will start. You know, part of your training is to help out on the shows. Remember what you're trained. Watch all the matches. Ask as many questions as possible, and then ask follow-up questions. Especially if the person who's training you is working in the ring, be especially mindful of their match, and then ask them, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Learning in pro wrestling
yes.
is a never-ending process. I mean, I've been doing it off and on for over 24 years now. I'm still learning. I know you're still learning. You've been doing it longer than I
yes.
have, Coach.
Yes.
You never stop learning, period.
Definitely, yes. Okay. And then who are some of the up-and-comers that you've seen out there that people should check out?
You know, there's a lot. I mean, we've been going at it for a bit now, but I want to just specifically zero in on two. You mentioned Glamour earlier. I recommend, as a female wrestler, watch Lilith Grimm. She works over here with Glamour. She does a lot with Rocky Mountain Pro, and Lilith Grimm is a female wrestler to watch. She's up and coming, and she's going to go far in this business. The other one is Balaam Lynx. Balaam Lynx he's already got the attention of some national companies, but Balaam Lynx is getting better all the time, and he's got enough energy for more than enough of the participants in the business. He's got the energy, he's got the fire, he's got the desire. He's willing to learn, but he's also willing to teach. He also does a lot with Rocky Mountain Pro. But he travels around. He's another one to watch in the future. He's going to be a known one. But Balaam Lynx, if you find out he's on a card and you can get to it, go watch him in action. Because pretty soon it's going to cost a lot more to see him wrestle.
Yes, definitely, for sure. Right on. And then, yeah, I want to say, yeah, because of J.D. Mason bringing in different people, I was able to check out Paragon.
Yes.
And then, of course, Sign Guy and I interviewed him on Turnbuckle Turmoil. That guy has got what it takes. He's got the look, the style, the ability, the ring gear. He can talk. So, yeah, he's another one to check out and keep your eye on.
Well, I said I'd give you two, but Wes Logan. Wes works all up and down the coast. He works all around. He's another one, you know, and again, you know, not just for the people to check out, but if you're working on a card with Wes Logan, he will he's a great teacher. He's very good at reining somebody in if they're doing too much or things that aren't necessary. And he's good over the how, what, when, and why. And he's always supportive. And he's another one that I see big things for in the future.
For sure. Awesome. Okay, yeah, we're getting down to the end here. How do people get a hold of you?
Get a hold of me on my Facebook page, Philip Ben. You could personal message me if you. Whenever you ask that, Coach, I always tell people that if they have trouble getting a hold of me, they can get a hold of you, and you can pass it forward. So between get a hold of my Facebook page, get a hold of Coach Mike Jones, Coach with the Most, coming at you from coast to coast. I don't mean to boast, all that stuff. I don't do that as well as Sign Guy. I certainly don't do it as well as you. But every once in a while, I got words to say and I've got to spew. So let's go.
Okay, nice. And then, hey, anything else you'd like to plug or promote?
Hey, come on out to Northwest Pro tonight. Come see us at future shows. I want to, change gears and just say promote life. Enjoy your day. Be happy you woke up. Enjoy your family. Tell them you love them.
Yeah. Just
be there.
For sure. Yeah, and then I see that Northwest Pro released their schedule for the year. Do you have any upcoming dates for them?
I don't have that in front of me. I should be better prepared on that. I will post that on my Facebook page. So come look at my Facebook page, and I'll put that in my. I have to put that maybe in my background photo, so people will know when to catch up with Northwest Pro and see all the good things we're doing.
All right, man, what a blessing and an honor it's been to know you and work with you and have you on today. Thank you for your time. I know you're a busy guy. Man, I wish you all the luck in the world, and I'm not ashamed to say I love you, brother.
Hey, I love you too, Coach. Always have, always will. Even during those new dimension days when we were working with Johnny Fairplay and things got a little wild down there.
Oh yes, goodness, bloodbaths down there, and then the fans attacking the wrestlers, all kinds of stuff. Yes,
stuff people going in, brawling into the streets of Portland and diving back into buildings before the cops can get them. Oh my God, what a riot!
Flying through plate glass windows and doors and being smashed through doors. The list goes on.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you can talk for an hour, and then like there's just still things that can come up that oh yeah, remember that one?
Yeah, my goodness. All right, Phil.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
You're welcome. Yep, there he is. You guys feel good, man. Check out Northwest Pro today and coming up. And if you got a chance to get to that Jeff Manning seminar, that'd be great also. Yep, like I said, the Mariners are playing the Braves in Atlanta today. Looking forward to that. And it's been exciting sports times in the Northwest. The Seattle Sea Dragons went to the playoffs in their first year as the Sea Dragons. In the first complete year for the XFL, and my goodness, the XFL was definitely a success this year. I compare them to the USFL, which the USFL has big promotion and big television contracts, but it looks to me like the XFL is above them as in fan base, support, and yes, it looks like the XFL will probably last longer than the USFL, and it wouldn't be a bad thing if they merged. Then also, earlier this week, the Seattle Kraken, in their second year, we went to the playoffs. We beat the last year's champions, the Colorado Avalanche. We won that series in seven games, got to go on to play the Dallas Stars, And we lost that one in seven games. But just goes to show you in their second year how far they came, and the future's looking bright for the Sea Dragons and the Kraken. And the Mariners, they've been going up and down this year. Julio's having a rough start, but it is nice to see that some of our rookies out there, Bryce Miller, he's overachieving big time, and I'm hoping he can keep it up. And then it's really nice to see Jared Kelnick is coming on strong this year. And we're hoping for the best for those guys. And hopefully Kelnick and maybe Bryce Miller can make the All-Star game that's in Seattle this year. So, yes, I'm looking forward to hopefully going to that. And, yep, our upcoming schedule is I got a special show tomorrow with Kenny Lush out of Canada. Man, he's got quite the career he's had. He represents rock and wrestling really well. He's toured the world in wrestling and in with his rock band. He's wrestled in Korea. He's made many tours around the country and in Europe for his rock band. And we'll be talking to him tomorrow at a special time, 2 o'clock Pacific, Sunday the 21st tomorrow. And then on the 27th of May, we got John and Emily Warsaka. And then on the 3rd of June, I got Mean Mark the Chef on. Yes, thank you guys so much for joining us and for all your feedback and input and support. We appreciate you guys so much. We love you. And have a great day. And it's a beautiful weekend here in the Northwest in Puyallup, Washington. Going to go out with my girl and my dog and get some exercise and sun. And have a good weekend, everyone. Love you.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast. But now I gotta roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Everybody say Coach Mike Jones.